Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Company Limited H1 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. N. S. Kannan, MD and CEO of ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning to all of you, and I welcome all of you to the results call of ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Company for the first half of current financial year. I'm sorry about this delayed call because we had scheduled our board meeting quite late in the day, so we didn't want to have the call late in the night. That's why we have scheduled it in the morning, and thank you for joining us. I have with me here my colleagues, Puneet Nanda, our Deputy Managing Director, Satyan Jambunathan, our Chief Financial Officer, and this time Amit Palta is joining us. He is our Chief Distribution Officer. At the outset, I would like to mention some of the developments during the quarter. The board, at its meeting held yesterday, has approved an interim dividend of 0.8 rupees, that is 0.80 per share, excluding the dividend distribution tax. Given the growth opportunities and specifically for the protection business, the board has approved this level of interim dividend, which translates to about 20% of profit after tax for the first half of the financial year. Coming to the regulatory developments during the quarter, the insurance regulator IRDA released new guidelines for innovation through a regulatory sandbox approach during the quarter, and they also released other guidelines on group life insurance products, anti-money laundering, benefit illustrations, and various aspects of market conduct. While there are some changes required to be made to operational aspects of running the business and processes, and of course, potential new opportunities and innovation catalyzed by the sandbox approach, overall, we feel that none of these changes are disruptive. I'll now talk about the key highlights of our performance for the half-year ended September 30th, 2019, in the context of our key strategic imperatives. As usual, we have put up the results presentation on our website. You can refer to it as we take you through our performance. After my remarks, Satyan will discuss the performance in greater detail. At the end, Puneet, Satyan, and I will be happy to take any questions that you may have. During the financial year 2019 results call, we had articulated our aspiration to double our financial year 2019 VNB value of new business in 3 to 4 years. That has been our stated aspiration. In this context, our VNB grew by 20.2% to 7.09 billion rupees in the first half of current fiscal as compared to 5.9 billion rupees for the same period last year. This growth of 20.2% has been predominantly achieved through the growth in the protection business. Our VNB margin for the half-year was 21% as compared to 17% for the whole of last fiscal year. The results achieved so far give us the confidence that we continue to be on our aspirational path of VNB development. As I mentioned in our previous calls, our four P strategic elements, that is, premium growth, protection business growth, persistency improvement, and productivity improvement, continue to guide us towards our objective of growing the absolute value of new business. We had also articulated our agenda for each of these strategic elements. On the first P of premium growth, for H1 of financial year 2020, our annualized premium equivalent, that is APE, was 33.69 billion rupees, and the new business premium was 51.52 billion rupees. While in APE terms, the growth was flattish, the new business received premium grew by about 20% year-on-year as against the same period last year. This highlights our success on partnerships we have been able to build constantly. Also, for the retail business, you would recall that starting from Q3 of last fiscal year, we had put in place various initiatives such as engagement with key distributors serving affluent customers and distribution and product initiatives to widen our customer base. Within product initiatives, we had talked about diversifying our product mix. I would like to mention that with the robust growth in protection and participating business, linked product mix is now about 69% of our first half 2020 APE as compared to over 80% in the last financial year. Similarly, on distribution channel diversification, non-bancassurance channels contributed to about 47% of our H1 financial year 2020 APE, as compared to about 44% in the last fiscal year. We continue to work on adding new partnerships. At the end of September, we announced our tie-up with the Airtel Payments Bank. With our continued focus on the strategy of broad-basing the customer base and further diversification of product mix, we've been able to navigate the adverse market environment successfully. Satyan will discuss the same in greater detail later in the call. On the second P of protection business growth, we continue to make significant progress. With our focus on retail business and building partnerships, our protection APE for the first half of this financial year grew by about 87% year-on-year. With an APE of almost 5 billion rupees, protection now accounts for 14.8% of our overall APE in the first half. This growth was led by both retail as well as group protection businesses. Within protection business, retail protection continues to dominate the mix. The continued growth and increasing mix of protection contributed to margin expansion on a year-on-year basis. Now coming to the third P of persistency, this metric continues to be a key measure of our business quality. Our 13-month persistency excluding single premium was at 83.6%, which is lower as compared to financial year 2019. We continue to focus on improving the 13-month persistency by encouraging our customers to stay invested longer. Our 49th month persistency was stable at 63.7% at the end of September 2019. I would like to highlight that our persistency rates continue to be one of the best in the industry and continue to be better than the assumptions we have used in the VNB as well as EV calculations. Satyan will update on the persistency movement in greater detail. He will also talk about the efforts we have put in since September 30 on the same static bucket and the improvement thereof from then. Now moving on to the fourth P of productivity improvement, we continue to leverage technology to improve cost ratios. However, as we continue our focus on protection, we are also conscious that we have to invest in this segment. Our cost to TWRP ratio was 16.6% in the first half of this financial year, as compared to 16.1% for the same period of the last year. This is primarily on account of the protection business growth. But if you look at the savings business, the cost to TWRP ratio has significantly improved to 11% as against 12.7% in the first half of last financial year. So as I mentioned earlier, the outcome of our focus on these four P's has resulted in our value of new business for the first half of current fiscal at 7.09 billion rupees, a growth of 20.2% over the same period last year. The VNB margin for H1 financial year 2020 is 21% as compared to 17% for the whole of last financial year. We will continue to focus on expanding the absolute value of new business going forward in line with the articulated aspiration. I thank you for your attention and I now hand over the call to Satyan to discuss the results in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Kannan. Good morning, everyone. Our primary focus continues to be to grow the absolute value of new business, that is VNB, through the 4P strategy of premium growth, protection business growth, persistency improvement, and productivity improvement. In H1 FY 2020, APE growth has been flat. Weakness in the macroeconomic environment and volatility of the equity markets has resulted in a 16% decline in the linked business, especially in the higher ticket size segment. Through the focus on other product segments, we have been able to mitigate the impact of the linked business decline on overall APE. Specifically, the protection and annuity segments continued to grow well. The annuity premium has doubled during half year FY 2020 to 0.48 billion of APE, which is about 4.8 billion of new business received premium. The non-linked savings business has doubled in Q2 FY 2020 with an overall growth of 63% for H1 FY 2020. With these strong elements of growth, the ULIP contribution was at about 69% of the total APE in H1 FY 2020 as against over 80% in FY 19, providing us with diversification in the product mix. On the distribution channels, we have continued to invest across channels such as agency, bank assurance partnerships, proprietary sales force, corporate agents, and brokers. Within the bank assurance channel, the focus on growing protection has continued into H1 FY 2020. In agency, the focus has been on building a long-term sustainable growth model through deepening our penetration in underserved customer segments. This has led to a higher share of participating business, annuities, and protection products, providing further diversification to the product mix, as well as increased earnings for our agents during the first half of 2020. In the case of corporate agents and brokers, the focus on protection and annuity segments has resulted in a significant contribution of business coming from this channel. We have also tied up with various non-traditional distributors, such as web aggregators, payment banks, small finance banks, and insurance marketing firms. We thus have a well-diversified distribution mix, with non-bank assurance channels contributing about 47% of our H1 FY20 APE. In terms of customer segments, retail business continues to dominate our new business, contributing about 90% of the APE. The growth in the group business has been primarily driven by protection products. As mentioned earlier, we continue to do well on the protection business, which is the second strategic element of growing VNB. With an APE of almost 5 billion for H1 FY20, the protection business grew about 87% with the mix at 14.8% of APE. Within the protection business, retail protection continued to grow strongly during the quarter. The third element of persistency. For H1 FY2020, we have seen some decline in our early period persistency, primarily from the linked business, and within this, from the higher ticket size segment. The later period persistency has been stable. For H1 FY20, our 13th month and 49th month persistency excluding single premium was 83.6% and 63.7% respectively. While our persistency rates continue to be one of the best in the industry, we have taken various steps across employees, customers and distributors to improve it further. Beyond the 49th month, surrenders is a key. While the absolute value of surrenders is increased, the rate of surrenders is similar to that in FY2019. From the point of view of profitability, our persistency and surrender experience continue to be better than the assumptions factored into the VNB and EV calculation. Kannan mentioned about efforts that we have been taking since the end of the quarter as well. As on date, the early period persistency for the same group of policies, that is the 13th and 25th month persistency, has improved by over 50 basis points from the quarter end number, giving us confidence that as we progress through the year, persistency is on an improving trend. The fourth element of cost ratios. Improving productivity within all parts of the organization from sales to service has resulted in our cost ratios coming down over the years. As we redouble our focus on protection, we are also conscious that we will have to invest in this segment, resulting in some potential increases in cost ratios. Overall, our cost to TWRP ratio was 16.6% for H1 FY2020. Within this, for the savings business, the cost to TWRP was 11% compared to 12.7% for H1 FY2019. This is despite the lack of growth in this half year in the savings business, and is also driven by non-advertising expenses being just about 4% higher than the same period last year. The outcome of our focus on these four P's has resulted in our value of new business of 7.09 billion for H1 2020, a growth of 20.2% over the same period last year. This growth has been predominantly achieved through the 87% growth in the protection business, which we had talked about earlier. The VNB margin remains stable at 21% for H1 FY20 as compared to 17% for FY19. By focusing on all the levers, we have been able to grow the bottom line even though the top line growth was muted. Our embedded value as of September 2019 stood at 226.8 billion with the value of in-force business at 149.49 billion. This represented an increase in EV by 17.8% after dividends and a VIF growth of 18.6% over September 2018. The profit after tax for H1 FY20 was 5.87 billion as compared to 5.83 billion rupees for H1 FY19. Solvency ratio continues to be strong at 211%. Our assets under management was more than 1.66 trillion at September 30, 2019, a growth of 13.3% year on year. Our investment policy philosophy continues to be aimed at ensuring consistent, stable, and better risk-adjusted performance over the long term to policyholders. On the technology front, we continued our digital innovation journey during the quarter. Some of the initiatives that we have launched include Insta Insure, which provides real-time offers based on data analytics, extension of artificial intelligence to additional aspects of customer servicing, using nudges to positively influence sales behavior, have been implemented during the quarter. We have also introduced a one-day claim settlement process for some of our customers. For Q2 FY2020, 99.6% of eligible claims were settled within one day. Our average claim settlement time was 1.2 days for Q2 FY2020, as against 2.3 days for FY2019. These initiatives are in addition to various initiatives that we had presented during the last quarter. The summary of which is available in the later part of our results presentation. To summarize, we continue to monitor ourselves on the 4P framework of premium growth, protection business growth, persistency improvement, and productivity improvement to improve expense ratios. Our performance on these dimensions is what we expect to feed into our VNB growth over time. Thank you, and we are now happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Kaushik Agarwal from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, first question is, sir, that cost by TWRP for us on the savings business is going down, but overall it has increased. So does that mean that there is an increase in cost by TWRP for the protection business?
Yes. Fundamentally, if you look at the costs associated with protection, specific costs that are only associated with protection are advertisement costs, underwriting costs, medical expenses costs. So when you actually have a situation where the protection mix itself is going up, that is what results in the cost to TWRP for the overall business going up.
Just to add, Kannan here, but we are quite happy to invest in protection. So while the number has gone up, as you know, the protection continues to be one of the leading businesses in terms of our VNB development, and it is a very underpenetrated opportunity in the country. So given that, we are quite okay. I mean, we are not worried about this ratio. As long as that is well within the assumptions what we have made at the beginning of the year, it is within the plan, we are quite happy to invest in that business. So I think what is more gratifying for us is that despite a flat top line, savings cost income ratios going down has been a good achievement on the cost side.
Okay. So cost by TWRP, what would be the approximate range of that number for protection business?
But I don't think it matters, Kaushik, because the VNB for protection is net of the actual cost.
Okay. So the margins that we report in this H1, are these on expected or actual cost? Because I think we had something like that in the last half of FY19 also. So just wanted to clarify that.
So we do that every year. Intermediate quarters in a year, the cost is based on actual cost so far and projected for the rest of the year. So now it is based on actual H1 plus projected H2.
And by the end of the year, it is completely on actual cost.
Okay. And so just one last question. In the savings item, there is a growth in others piece. So others, is that non-par savings that we are also growing? Because par business has grown well. So is non-par savings also growing for us?
Yes, it is. But it is still a very, very small proportion of the business that we have.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hi. Good morning. Two questions. First one is more on your renewal premium. So renewal premium growth still seems to be muted. One part is explained by that you had a sort of a negative growth last year. So that's, but prior to that, you had some strong years. And also persistency has been reasonably better. So what is holding up this renewal growth that still remains muted? So that's the question one. And the second question is more of a, you know, the clarification on data, that if I were to look at the data that comes from IRDA, where they report something called group renewal, and that's a pretty big business. And I mean, technically that has to be considered a regular premium. But if I were to look at your AP calculation, it seems that you consider that as a single premium. So just some clarification on that. Thank you.
Sure. On the first one, Avinash, with respect to the renewal premium growth, the factors that you described are what come into play. Last year, new business was flat, which is one factor for muted growth. Second, persistency in the early period has actually been slightly weaker than what it was last year. Therefore, between the two factors is where the renewal premium growth is muted. But as we go through the rest of the year, and as the persistency also, as we expect it, if it improves through the year, we should see this becoming a stronger growth. With respect to your second question on group business, the approach that we have taken is that group funds business are typically businesses which are lumpy, which each one has to be, there is a contractual obligation from the group policy holder. And therefore, we treat all of it as single premium whenever it comes in. And that's what you see as not being taken as regular premium.
Okay. And how do you treat that GTI, if at all, that is there?
The group term, the way we treat it, is consistent with the rest of the participants in the market, which is all new members or all increased sum assured is treated as new business. Existing renewal is treated as renewal.
So the new business you will treat at GTI as a regular?
That is correct. That is correct. And that's exactly how the other people also in the market treat it.
Yeah. Just again, so why IRDA had just chosen that even the some fund-based business to be treated as a renewal when it's an annual contract that has to be, I mean, that...
But I don't think that matters, Avinash, because at the end of the day, the measurement of APE is related to generation of VNB.
Yeah.
And therefore, to the extent that we are more focused on absolute VNB, some of these elements are less relevant.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Singh, do you have any further questions?
No, I'm not. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from ICICI Prudential Life. Please go ahead.
Hello. I guess he got this wrong. I'm from HDFC Securities.
Of course, Madhukar, we know. Thank you.
So I noticed this investment provisions of about 99 crores. There's also a provision in the shareholders' account for this. That's about 36 crores. Can I know what is this regarding?
So this is, Madhukar, as a standard practice, we have impairment triggers on investment, mainly on equity. These are typically based on quantitative triggers based on market price of the equity. So every quarter we will assess all of our equity investments in the context of market price, and based on triggers we will provide for impairment in the books of account. Most of it also has a corresponding policyholder impact, but this is just mark to market. There is nothing else in this.
Okay. And no stressed debt exposure?
No, there has been zero provision for any fixed income. We do not have any non-performing fixed income assets. This is purely equity mark to market.
And Madhukar, that you know, we had clarified from time to time during the last 6-9 months that if you look at our bond portfolio, corporate bond portfolio, since inception 19 years, we have zero NPL. That continues to be the status now. our exposure, we are quite underweight on any of the stressed sectors of the economy, so we don't have any concerns on that. And we largely prefer government securities if we have to really look at the interest rate as a movement which we have to profit from. And on the corporate bond side, the credit quality continues to be top-notch. So those are the boundaries within which I've been operating. So to answer your question, there is no stress on the bond portfolio on account of any of this.
Great. Sir, another question on the savings split that you gave on slide 12. There's an others component. Can you split that between non-par savings and group savings? Is that possible?
It is still a fairly small number, Madhukar. So I don't think that is such a material part. What is more relevant is the linked and the par mix that we have. Others still for the half year is less than 150 crores. 140 crores is what we had for half year.
But last quarter, you had given a roughly 50-50% sort of a split. Will that hold again now?
I don't have that here, but I can share that with you separately.
All right. And
but again, Madhukar, just to clarify, our philosophy continues to be the same that if you look at the overall non-par annuity, we would be totally focused on, as you have seen in the previous line item there, annuity has grown at 100%. That is something we will continue to focus on. On the other side, on the non-par guaranteed, our levels of guarantee continue to be very less. We don't have any risk arising out of that on the liability side. And generally, we don't participate in the deferred annuity or a long-term guarantee kind of products. So from a risk perspective, your question is about risk perspective, this will not lead to any significant risk, any material risk in the liability side of our balance sheet.
Also, Madhukar, you're right, the group is about half of it.
Yeah, we just clarify the numbers, it is broadly half-half again.
Okay, great. The other question I noticed was that the NPAR business is seeing a large transfer from the shareholders' account. So that is about 26 billion?
No. This is on account of new business strain in the protection business. And again, if you see across the past quarter, this is not the first quarter where you will see it. This is purely arising out of the new business strain on the protection business.
On the protection business.
Yes.
And the final question, can you give us the margin movement walk? How much is because of mix and other factors?
There are no assumption changes in this period. It's all driven by product mix and expense numbers for the year. Nothing else is in it.
Any movement because of interest rates?
Yes, there is interest rate movement, but I think it is a small net movement. It's not very material.
Okay, great. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajax Henry from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Sir, my question was with respect to commissions, and I'm expecting that the protection commission should be higher as a ratio, right, with respect to the other products.
Yes.
How are we able to control commissions at a gross level?
This is just a product mix issue, Ajox. If you see, it is the unit-linked commission rates which would have come down a little. The rest of the segments continue to be stable. So it is just reflective in a sense of the mix that we have had on various products.
Yeah, so when we are moving towards better protection, going forward, shouldn't this number be?
So you should actually see, if you are looking at commission, you should look at it at a segment level. You will see that the protection segment is actually stable on a commission rate. It's not changed.
The rate.
And in any case, commission is not something that we customize. It is what is filed in the product. It's purely dictated by the product that is being sold.
Okay, got it, sir. And my other two questions are with respect to protection. Do we have any number with respect to the proportion of ICICI Bank's customers who have bought protection? Like, just because that should be very low, but just your products being sold to ICICI Bank customers and the number of customers they have.
Very, very early days, Ajox, because ICICI Bank has been a meaningful protection seller only in the last 12 months or so.
Okay. Okay. What is the number of protection policies in force for us, sir? Number of policies?
I don't think we have disclosed that at this point of time. I just will probably do that by the end of the year.
And just to, on your, just the previous question you asked about ICICI Bank,
yes,
the penetration is very low, but I want to tell you that among the banks, they have taken up the whole protection agenda very strongly. If you look at some of the strategic moves made by bank in terms of the Insta products, which they have been introducing from time to time, that squarely fit, our product squarely fits into that approach and strategy. So there is a lot of momentum in ICICI Bank when it comes to protection business. So I think there is a great opportunity there, and it is underpenetrated today. So ICICI Bank will continue to grow protection in a very significant way going forward.
Okay, got it, sir. And my question was we have taken a strategic call to avoid participating through banks. So I was thinking more protection would be sold through banks.
Which is happening already.
Yeah, it is already started happening. So I just wanted to clarify once again, which I did on the last call also, that we respect the customer needs totally. As we have always said, we are customer-centric when it comes to products being sold to the customers. At the same time, we also respect the distributors' approach towards their customers. So those are the two guiding philosophies within which we have been operating. So as a result, it turned out that ICICI Bank is becoming more of a ULIP on the savings side, a big player in the annuity and protection. These are the two spaces where they are extremely, pushing hard in terms of meeting the needs of their customers. On the other channels, it is a much more diversified mix across PAR as well as ULIP and protection businesses. So while you looked at the, the product mix as explained by Satyan, in terms of ULIP coming down by about 16% as a company as a whole, some of that has been compensated by a very robust growth we have seen not only in protection but also in the PAR segment across the other channels. So I feel that, just looking back, the journey over the last one and a half years is that some of the market volatility which could have actually impacted our business much more, we've been able to successfully mitigate through product mix diversification. From about 80 to 85% ULIP company, we have been able to swing it to a 69% ULIP company now in the 6 months. So I think, and also as a result, the overall customer base has expanded, and also the overall granularity of the business has also expanded. So I think that journey will continue. So the approach would be, as you mentioned, the different channels will take up the diversification differently, but as a company as a whole, we would have achieved much more diversification than it was 1.5 years back.
Perfect, sir. Just a final question. Sir, do you share persistency on protection with us?
Year-end, we do that. Year-end, that's a yearly disclosure we make across this one. So otherwise, intermediate quarters, we don't break it out across the product lines. But in general, you can see that, in the growth context, we have explained that that's been largely caused by the market volatility and our exposure to ULIP. So that sort of similar thing plays out in the context of market volatility across our product segments also. High ticket ULIP typically takes much more time for collection. And we put in all the efforts. And as Satyan mentioned, the early period persistency, what we have put out in our presentation, has actually improved by more than 50 basis points since then for the same static bucket. So, in this kind of market environment, one has to be patient and has to push the distribution as well as the customers to tell them very clearly that they have to pay the renewal premiums to get the full benefits out of the policies. I think that is a bit of a journey and a hard work in this market environment. But otherwise, we believe that our persistency experience will continue to be well within the assumptions we have made in our EV and the VNB calculation. That is broadly what we can give you the color on.
Sir, given that you are focusing on the persistency and on protection, so will the margins be impacted if persistency structurally keeps going up?
No, as I said, the margin is ultimately a function of what we have baked in the assumptions. And as long as the assumptions are in line with what we are achieving actually, then they should not impact at all. Because when you put out a margin of 21%, which is an aggregate measure of individual product margins across the product segments, all those numbers have been already baked in. So with that confidence only, we have put out a number of 21%. So that should not matter going forward.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ajit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of M.W. Kim from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. I have one question about the barrier in force growth. So the last 6 months, so despite of the linked volume decline, overall the new business growth actually the double digit, and then the macro seems not really the bad impact on the EV growth. But when I actually look at the your value inputs growth for last 6 months, so the numbers increased only the few billion from the 143 billion to the 149 billion. So could you please explain a little bit more detail how the movement look like and why this growth rate has slowing down during this last 6 months? Thank you.
MW, right. So over the last 6 months, the VIF growth has been lesser. But what we are looking at it is over the last 1 year on a rolling basis, the growth has been almost 19%. The reason why in the last 6 months it has been lower is because of the negative economic variances that have come through. That is the context of the markets, and that's what has affected it. But in the longer term, one would expect that to be neutralized. Across the other elements, from an operating perspective, there is nothing which is taking away from VIF growth.
So if we actually remove this or the economic variances, do you remain very confident on the positive operating the variance generation and then the similar to the last old days, compounding based on the new business growth and the time variable money?
Yes, we remain confident of positive operating variances over the years.
So Tim, just to supplement that point, the first issue, given the market situation, given the kind of strategy we have adopted, we are extremely satisfied with a 19% year-on-year growth on VIF. I thought that given the environment, given the way we've been able to navigate, getting to a 19% year-on-year growth VIF was a good outcome. And also, even if you look at from an EV perspective, despite paying an interim dividend, despite paying the dividend outflow which was there in the last quarter, we actually grew it by about 18% on a year-on-year basis. So both these outcomes very high teens growth in both of these, we thought, we've been successfully able to navigate this environment to put out those kind of growths.
Yes. That's very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Few questions from my side. First of all, you mentioned that in your protection product mix, retail products dominate. So just wanted to understand on the group side, what kind of products you have? Is it mainly group term or is there a credit product element as well which is shaping up? And what dynamics you are seeing on that?
So I'll just point you to full year last year. If you look at full year last year, 60% of my protection APE was retail, 22% was credit life, 18% was group term. We typically give this split once in a year. Like Kannan also mentioned earlier in his points, observations, the growth across product segments, both retail and group in the first 6 months of this year has continued to be strong.
Okay. So, sir, a follow-up on this is, now that, in this half year, you have seen around 15% of protection in your APE. Can you give me a sense of how much would protection contribute towards the VNB that has been measured in this half year?
Again, that is something that we tend to give on a full year basis. Just to give you a sense, full year last year, protection contributed 60% of the VNB. This year, protection has been a higher share of the new business. So the share of protection VNB contribution would only have gone up in this year.
Okay, all right. And one last question, sir, on your annuity products. So if you could throw some light on, you know, what would be the, in an average, the duration of these products and what hedging strategy are you taking into account for these?
So the annuity business that we do is entirely immediate annuities. We do not currently sell any deferred annuities.
Okay.
Within the annuity business, there are two kinds of features that we sell. One is an annuity for life, and the other is an annuity which pays out the purchase price on the death of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Within these two, the longer liability duration is for the life annuity. In terms of customer choice, we actually see more than half of the annuities purchased are with return of purchase price. From an investment management and ALM perspective, this is all single premium. So I'm able to invest upfront and lock into investment assets.
Mm-hmm.
We manage this portfolio on a duration matching, which is neutralizing sensitivity of the assets and the liabilities to interest rates. And on that, we are very, very closely matched. That's how we have the ALM strategy for the annuity portfolio.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's very clear.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So can you share the operating ROEV for H1?
Nidhesh, we don't give a split of the EV movement during the year. Also, because of the seasonality, it is very hard to interpret ROEV on a half-yearly basis. But like I said, the operating variances for the full year, we still expect it to be positive given the emergence of experience.
Secondly, sir, on the operating expenses on savings business, it has already come down to 11%. And for the full year, I think it could come down, it could tend toward probably 10% number. Last year, full year number was 11.5%. So are we taking any benefit of this sharp improvement in efficiency in savings and OB in our current margins? Or do we expect margin improvement for the full year when the OPEX will OPEX experience will materialize?
So we're not taking any improvement in expense ratio at this stage, Nidhesh. There's still 6 months left to go. Where we end up with from a margin perspective will really be dictated by how growth emerges over the next 6 months. But from a downside perspective, we are not seeing any meaningful downside risks on this account.
But from upside, let's say hypothetically, if your expense ratio is 10%, so should we expect some positive kicker to the margin for the full year? Or
if growth is robust in the second half, it should help us improve expense ratios. And if that happens, it should improve margins.
Thirdly, on the participating business, since Banca is not selling participating, so you must have seen very robust growth in the other channels. So can you share the number YOY growth ex Banca in participating?
So overall, if I'm looking at the participating business, it has grown by over, non-linked savings overall has grown by over 60% for the half year. But specifically within that, Q2 growth was almost 100% growth. And this growth is driven almost entirely by the by channels other than ICICI Bank, which have been selling the product. So that growth has actually been very robust from all the channels.
So, which means that probably ex Banca the growth may be close to 200% or 150% YOY.
No, it doesn't matter, Nidhesh. I'm saying absolute growth of non-linked savings versus this year versus same period last year is itself in the 60s and in the last quarter was 100%.
Sure. And then lastly, of the 4P drivers, we are right now using or having the benefit of protection only. The other three drivers, probably some benefit of productivity, but premium growth and definitely persistency are the two drivers which have been acting in the negative direction at least for this financial year. And I believe for this VNB growth to double, VNB to double over next 3 to 4 years, so you will definitely require robust premium growth to come through. So what is your sense of premium growth for next year? And what is the share of ULIP where you think it will stabilize? Right now it is around 69%. At what level it will stabilize over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, Nidesh, you are absolutely right. The two areas where we have to continue to work on is persistency and growth, premium growth. I will give my own view, then I will ask Puneet to supplement it. First, on persistency, as I have already mentioned, that we have recognized that there has been a reduction, but I'm also been extremely, happy about the fact that since September 30th, on the same pool, we have been able to increase the persistency, as Satyan mentioned in the early buckets, by over 50 basis points. So that, as well as all the efforts we are putting in through the distribution, through the customers' engagement, etc., give us confidence that we will be well within the assumptions we have made in the VNB and the EV. And, this is a metric which continues to be tracked very closely by the board, and I can assure you that all efforts will be made to ensure that the persistency stays within the assumptions. That going forward, we will push on all those levers. And I think over a period of, even then, even at the current level, we are one of the best in the persistency in the industry. And given our product profile of the past of high ticket and skewed towards ULIP, there's a little bit of hard work to be done. And as I mentioned also, that if I look at the movement of persistency, it is largely impacted by the large ticket ULIP type products, rather than any of the other sides of our businesses. So that gives us confidence on where to focus our efforts on, and we will hopefully get the outcomes arising out of that. Now, coming to premium growth, you're absolutely right. In the long term, after we exhaust the protection mix, etc., the lever for VNB growth will have to be the overall premium growth. In that context, I want to mention that last several quarters have been impacted by the market volatility, and given that we were high focused on ULIP, with the 80 to 85% of our product mix being ULIP, and also the fact that our ticket sizes were probably 3 times more than our some of our competitors when it comes to ULIP, those to us are the two big factors which impacted the development of top line growth. But given all the strategies we have adopted in terms of movement to protection somewhat, and focusing on some of the products like participating products in the non-bank channels, non-ICICI bank channels, we have been able to mitigate, I feel, the impact of premium growth to a large extent. And I also want to point out to you, Nidesh, if I look at the sequential momentum across all the players in the industry, we've been quite stable given the market environment. If you look at the sequential development of APE, we have been quite a stable player, partly aided by the fact that we have been on this agenda of product mix diversification. You would also know that, come October, November, there would be a base effect working in our favor, because last year we had a decline in October, which was quite sharp compared to September. So that is, when you move into the third quarter, that is something hopefully which should give us a momentum. So as I had told you in the previous calls, we would be totally focused on sequentially how to stabilize and take it forward. That has been our focus. These are the factors which should hopefully help us going into the next year. So your question on, do we have any mixed target in terms of how much should be ULIP? We will completely leave it to the customers' preferences, as well as the distributor preferences. We will make all products available. ULIP will continue to be a very competitive product for us. And I'm sure that when the markets revive, at some point in time, ULIP will be back. So to that extent, ULIP is a very, very good customer proposition. We are not defensive about the product at all. If you look at the 1 year down the line, if I have to really do a crystal ball gazing, I believe that we will be a much more diversified, more resilient company, which automatically should make our growth less volatile in the context of anything happening in the environment outside of us. So with this opening remarks, I'll ask Puneet to clarify on both the persistency as well as the premium issues, premium growth issues.
Hi, Nidesh. I think Kanuna actually explained in complete detail. I just want to supplement one or two points. You know, the savings side of business, the starting point is the household financial savings of the country. As all of us know, that is an area where there is a challenge the country itself is facing. The financial savings rate as well as absolute amount is not necessarily in the best shape. So actually from there, all of us in the retail financial services space you know, get the macro picture. So obviously within that, then wherever there are market linked elements, that gets a bigger impact. So wherever, you know, people feel that there are potential risks, people obviously start retreating from that and start going, moving towards what they perceive to be more safer assets. I think that is something that has now been witnessed for the last 2 to 3 quarters. And given our significantly higher exposure to market linked instruments, obviously, you know, we have faced the challenge more than anybody else. So for us, really, the fact is that in this environment, what can we do? I think what we can do is we have to ensure that not only do we continue to offer the, you know, the best products across segments, whether market linked or non-linked, and continue to give better propositions as well as better service to customers. We also have to try and ensure that as much as possible, we keep diversifying within product segments, within customer segments, within distribution segments. And as you would have noticed, that is happening. Of course, it's a slow process, but it is indeed happening. You have seen the impact that has happened on product mix. Similarly, you know, it is happening on the customer segment. Similarly, it is happening on distributor segment. The other element that we are working very hard is obviously on trying to add more distribution as far as we can, whether it is in terms of more corporate partners, bank partners, or indeed agents. So all that work is going on. The reality is that some of these things do play out over time, and we do expect that to play out. As we have said, we are very, very focused on ensuring that our overall VNB guidance that we have given is indeed met, the doubling of 3 to 4 years. Within that, you are very right. The two elements of protection and productivity are working well right now. The other two not that relevant. But, you know, over a 2 to 3 year time frame, hopefully the other elements will also work. On persistency specifically, it was also discussed a little bit earlier. You know, it's a combination of the same, you know, the market environment, aversion to risky instruments, along with the fact that last year itself we had a flat year. So on that base, obviously the absolute amount of renewal premium is not going to be that significant. But as we go along, some of these things will start correcting. We already have seen some correction in October as we speak. Both Kanan and Satyan spoke about that. It's actually pretty much embedded in our DNA, in our culture, that actually these things are good for the customer, good for the distributor, good for the company. So that effort remains, and we are fairly confident that it will correct itself as we go ahead. Thank you.
And just Kanan here, one point, Nidesh, I want to clarify also that currently we are running a VNB margin of 21%. And in our VNB development on a year-on-year basis for the first half, we have been marking it against 17.5%. And if you would know that for the full year, we actually ended up with a 17, which we marked down in the third quarter of the last financial year. That is something which we need to keep in mind. So we ended the year with a 17% for the year as a whole last year, whereas we are running 21% currently.
Yeah. And just one more thing to add, sir. When we started this journey last year of broad-basing the customer base and going into traditional products, there was a perception that it will be very difficult strategy, and because of the cultural issues in the organization where we have been selling ULIP for last many years. So do you think in last 12 months that cultural issue or whatever the difficulties from a cultural standpoint and employee standpoint is being addressed, and now we are pretty stable on the journey of broad-basing customer base and broad-basing our product mix?
Yeah, it is, you know, these kind of shifts are always ongoing, but one thing I can tell you is that, you know, generally focusing on the distributors and the customer, that strategy continues, because whatever, you know, the customer wants, we should be able to produce a product and should be able to push our teams to sell those products. So some of the testimony to that success has been, as Satyan mentioned, we have seen the, you know, the growth in the non-linked savings business of, you know, about 60%, more than 60% in the first half, which actually accelerated in the second quarter. That is one part. While we have not specifically talked about the policy growth, Generally, you know, our sense is that we have been able to arrest the decline in the in-force in the savings business, and we continue to grow the protection number of policies. So I think these two, yes, there is a lot of initial success. Amit is here, our Chief Distribution Officer. Puneet is here. I'm here. All of us, when we talk to our sales team, the way we design the goal sheets, etc., we have made it very clear that whatever is required for the customer should be sold. And over a period of time, we have to granularize our business model, and we have to continue to grow our policy base. These three things have been made very clear in our design as well as in our conversations. So just that, you know, I want to say that it's a journey, because one can never say that, yes, I have achieved and tomorrow morning everything is done. It is more of a, you know, a journey which we will be at it. And some of the earlier success sort of motivates us to continue to be on that journey.
And the, one final point. See, the core culture, if you have to ask me, is to be customer-centric. When you are customer-centric, you will try to sell what makes sense for the customer in a particular environment at a particular point of time. So actually, there is no change in that. Obviously, given the environment, product mix changes, and it also depends on the distributor preference. So, you know, from our perspective, we remain focused on ensuring that we do what is good for the customer, and at the same time, ensuring that from our own balance sheet perspective also, we don't take, you know, the undue risk that we cannot manage. As you all are aware, obviously, a large part of the growth, you know, whatever has been there in the industry has been through balance sheet risk. We are very absolutely clear that we will not do those kind of things, because we want to be here for the next, not just 5-10 years, for the next 50 to 100 years.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Gariwala from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, very well.
Yeah. Okay. So the question which I had was that if I look at the run-up from FY18 to FY19 in terms of the protection mix, that was quite healthy, and still we saw that the VNB margin did not expand compared to, you know, how it has shaped up in this current financial year. One of the levers, what I understand, is a higher OPEX in last year made for products like ULIP, but the throughput did not come through. So the question I have is, how is that shaping up in this financial year? How are you managing the OPEX? Because the sales in ULIP are still not growing, right? So then how do you, I mean, on both sides you're hit, right? You want to cut on OPEX to maintain margin. At the same time, the ULIP sales are not coming through. So how do you justify this scenario?
Yeah, it's a good question, Udit, but this the issue was much larger last year compared to this year. I'll just explain why. When we did the planning for our financial year 2019 at the beginning of the year, the projection was about 15% kind of a growth, where we designed the organization for a 15% kind of a growth. That's how we went into the financial year 2019. So as a consequence, the resources planning as well as human resources planning have been around that kind of a framework. So because of which we expanded the organization into close to about 18,000, 19,000 people around that time. And as you know, how much ever we can variabilize, so there is a large fixed cost base which had to be covered by sales growth. You know, we were hoping for growth to come back. You know, because if you remember the first quarter of financial year 2019, some of the growth momentum loss has also been because of the base effect. In the base year, we had the post demonetization kind of a bulk flows coming into the company, because of which we were working against a strong base. So there was sort of mixed signals as to a momentum versus a base. So with that, we were operating in the year. But we believe, learned from that experience. And when we designed the organization for this financial year, we were quite muted in terms of the overall growth, but very focused on having to diversify our product mix and the protection line. That is how we designed the organizations for the current financial year. So a couple of things have happened. If you look at the manpower base today, we are under 14,000 as we speak. So that has been a big move coming into this financial year. Second, within the constraints of whatever we can do, we have tried to variabilize the expenses as much as possible. Given these two initiatives, we are running quite okay on the expenses. So that is what gives us the confidence that the kind of mid-year change we had to make in terms of the expense overrun running ahead of what we thought, this gives us a confidence this year that that is not likely to be a scenario, irrespective of the top-line weakness. So that is how we have defined the organization. So this is how we get the comfort on this.
Okay. And just a follow-up on this. So is it actually, viable? You mentioned that your ticket sizes had been, three times of competition. Is it actually viable selling a ULIP which is lower ticket size, because without taking names, one player which is successfully growing that, which is more focused in lower ticket size fixed income product, has an advantage in terms of a much lower cost because of the banker partnership, right? So does it become incrementally very difficult for you to focus on that? Can actually money be made on a lower ticket size ULIP with the distribution you have? And in terms of VNB today, 21% is also factoring that ULIP book is not growing or shrinking to a certain extent as a mix. So when that growth comes in, this will also put some pressure on the margins you report, right? So these are the two follow-up on that.
So this one, first to address the question on cost ratios, I would like to think and believe that we are amongst the lowest cost ratios in the industry, and therefore if it is affordable for anyone, it should be affordable for us. Fundamental drivers of affordability of ULIP will be cost ratios and persistency, both of which we believe we are right up there. And therefore, lower ticket ULIP, at least in our context, is a viable proposition. To take a second question on the margin, on the back of a stronger ULIP growth, we have said this before, we say it again, we manage our business on absolute VNB. To the extent that the absolute VNB growth comes from all segments of business, we are happy. It doesn't necessarily need to come from margin.
And just one last point, in terms of, since we are seeing that the persistency is going down a bit, specifically you mentioned in the higher ticket size ULIP, does it mean that it makes it incrementally more difficult to cross-sell to your existing customer base?
It can at certain points of time, but I don't think it is something which affects at a larger base, because all said and done, part of our strategy is granularization and new customer acquisition. A lot of the growth gets driven by that. And even as far as existing customers are concerned, as long as we are actually delivering them value over a period of time, it shouldn't hurt our ability to cross-sell to them. When they buy could be a function of the environment, but whether they buy from us, I don't think gets impacted by any of this.
And also, given the customer base to the ULIP, we can go to them with multiple solutions. Even if you look at ULIP itself, in times like this, we are able to go back to them with the fixed income as a fund option within the ULIP, or, of course, protection and the other products being available which can be cross-sold. So we have not seen, given that we have a wide range of products across all the platforms, it really helps us to have conversations around the cross-sell with the customer. So that, we have not seen any impact of that.
Where I was coming from is as a customer, I mean, maybe I don't perceive it that way, because given most of the customer, how they buy insurance, the idea is, okay, this product has not worked for me. Maybe it's not working out. So why should I buy another insurance product from the same company? So that is the point where I was coming from.
I'm not so sure that is the typical insurance customer behavior.
No, not really. They know about the five-year lock-in. They know that it works in the long term. It is more of our job in terms of going back and reminding them what the product has been. So we have not seen that kind of a behavior, at least from the insurance customers yet.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Sanket Goda from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. With respect to the cost on the savings business, I believe the bulk of the cost saving happened because the employee force, as you have explained, the employee cost has increased only 2% year on year for the half. But just wanted to know, means if this kind of a low employee cost is probably not sustainable, maybe next year onwards it will inch up a bit, then naturally this will have a bearing on the savings line of business cost ratios. Suppose the growth is still in the single digit for the savings business, then basically my question is to ask whether what the cost measures you have taken in the current year might be able to address the problem for the year, but on a sustainable basis ultimate solution is growth. So just wanted to understand how you want to approach it and how we see this cost ratios in saving business to behave going ahead.
So the point that you make, Sanket, is that the ultimate benefit will come from growth is correct. The point of cost calibration is in the context of challenge in growth, how do we recalibrate expenses? And again, our entire approach to cost management has not been one of cost cutting. It's been one of cost optimization. So even as Kannan described, our average manpower has come down. It has not come down generically across all segments. It's actually come from a redeployment into the more productive segments. So it's a more active management of where I'm willing to spend, where I'm able to spend, where affordability is more, as opposed to saying that it's a blanket cost-cutting exercise. The challenge sometimes with a blanket cost-cutting approach is it can then affect ability to grow in the future. And we are being very careful about not letting that become the way we are managing costs.
Got it. Perfect. Actually, that was the concern. So whether it's like a negative feedback, cutting cost and impacting the growth in that way.
No. We don't believe that our initiatives on cost in this year will affect growth.
Okay. And if just one question, so on the mix basically, so generally second half is heavy on savings compared to first half. So the protection contribution, which is around 14.8 in first half, will probably reduce in the second half and maybe settle around 12 or 12 and a half. So because of the mix itself changing in favor of savings for the full year, we see that the margins of, I mean, assume the assumptions remains the same, then the margins of 21 will naturally see a little lower number for the full year. Is it a fair assumption?
I think we'll let the half year emerge and then get a sense of that, but I'll go back to what we said before. Our objective is still absolute VNB growth. If indeed the protection mix goes down on the back of a stronger savings growth, it's not a bad thing. But also from a mix perspective, I'll just highlight this, Sanket. Protection growth rate even now is much stronger than savings growth rate. So unless we are saying that savings growth rate in the next half is going to be 60% plus, it will be very hard to expect protection mix to go off from here.
Okay, got it. And finally, just wanted to understand the industry trend. I think one of the largest players, that is LIC, has significantly cut the pricing on protection, individual protection. Probably now it is one of the best rates offered. So do you see the competition intensifying in this line of business? That is first. And second, just wanted to understand how the protection business behavior is changing, whether the demand for return of premium protection is inching up. Maybe I think two large players have already started selling the product. And if that product becomes popular, then are we seeing that the protection margins which we experience right now could structurally see a decline because the product has a lower margin?
So, Sanket, the point that you make about return of premium, I will address that first before handing over to Puneet to talk about the competitive environment. Structurally, a return of premium product is not a pure protection product. At best, we are talking about 15 to 20% of that premium being pure protection. And therefore, you are right, an expectation of margin should be somewhere in between a savings and a pure protection product. Our own protection business is entirely protection. There is no return of premium. Wherever there is a return of premium, we do offer a bundle, which is a savings product with a protection product, to give the same effect of return of premium to our customers even now. But from a VNB perspective, they are sitting in two different products in two different categories. So one, is there an opportunity? Will people want return of premium? I suspect they will. And therefore, are we present in that segment? Yes, we are. But for us, that is not really a margin determinant in that sense.
Moving on to the question that you had on competitiveness of protection and also what LIC has been doing, I'll let Puneet take that.
You are absolutely right. I think competition is intensifying, but I think it's better to look at it in the context of the opportunity. I think protection is a category which is deeply, deeply underpenetrated. You know, we have always said in the saving space, consumer has various options, you know, from fixed deposits to mutual funds to company deposits, etc., etc., etc. But in the pure protection space, the only option is taking a life cover. And historically, for various reasons, it's not really been that popular or that significant. Only over the last 2 or 3 years, you know, partly because of the affluence levels, partly because of more education, and also I would say deep effort by some of us, this market has started growing. And as this market has started growing, obviously a lot of people start seeing value in this, and more people will want to come in. And, you know, the example of LIC fits in over there. But, you know, from my perspective, I think protection is a game where we are still very much, you know, in a phase of increasing the pie. The pie can increase significantly, and hence, even if there are more players, it's not really too much of a matter of concern. Yeah, you know, one case here and there may happen. But even after all of that, if you really look at how the situation today is playing out, there are 24 life insurance companies. 24 out of 24 are very, very active in the saving space. But in the protection space, the reality is only 6 or 7 players are really active. Yeah, you know, some talk about it, but if you look at the numbers, not necessarily that active. So competitive intensity in the protection space is relatively less, number one. The second aspect is protection is also an area where a lot depends on what is the onboarding process, what is the claims experience, how hassle-free is it both to get a policy as well as to get the claim. And as you are seeing, you know, these things are becoming more relevant, more important. It's not as if pricing is the only important thing. And that is why some of the initiatives we have taken, and we spoke about the fact that our claims, you know, TATs are now about 1.2 in the last quarter. We have now done a campaign where we say claims we will guarantee in one day. I think these are things which become very, very relevant. So all of these things will play out. And finally, specifically, if LIC does more on the protection side, advertises more, promotes more, actually, we think it's a very, very good thing. Because if LIC does it, actually, it increases awareness levels. And the reality is on the protection side, the biggest agenda for all of us in the industry actually is to increase awareness. Thanks.
Thank you. That's it from my side. Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So on the ULIP, just wanted to have some sense on your indicative ticket size where you are comfortable enough. I mean, because you have been seeing higher surrenders or maybe lower persistency, whatever, whichever way we can put it, I mean, in terms of persistency coming down. So where are we focusing more, and what kind of traction you believe will be having in the coming quarters? And also similar, I mean, on the ULIP itself, on the SIP which you started last year, whole year has been, because I think 12 months have been gone by, and we started last around October, the SIP model. So, and again on the mass affluent customers or the mass customers. So there are a lot of questions around ULIP, just wanted to have some sense.
So let me take all the three questions. First, I want to clarify on your point on surrender. While we have talked about the early period persistency, which needs a continuing work, which we are doing, on the surrender side, I want to tell you that we are actually doing much better than what we thought we would do. You know, the surrender really comes in for the late period, whether the money stays with the company or not. There actually our experience has been far better despite this environment. That is where what we mentioned earlier also, Satyan's point that the insurance customer behaves differently also sort of comes in there, that they leave the money with us, and that experience has been better than what we thought we would do. So on the surrender point, it should not have any concerns at all. Now coming to the second question on the SIP part which you talked about, that was largely a measure, which is a tactical measure, which was done in the month of October and November last year to ensure that we activate our distribution who was getting worried about the market and not going back to the customers at all. So, you know, I would like to look at it as the reactivation of the distributors to get them to early success in case the customer do not want to give a bulk flow. They could give us the monthly flows is what we wanted to do, and we wanted to address the volatility of our top line. So that I would see it as a tactical move. I would see it as a move which will activate the distribution. Then again, you know, while that will contribute to APE, in terms of received premiums, monthly doesn't contribute month on month. You know, you'll have to wait for the whole year for the experience to emerge. And even the distribution payout happens only on the received premium, not on the APE basis. So there is actually natural checks and balances from the distributor perspective on what could be the uptake of those products. So to answer the, you know, your question on the outcome of that, it continues to be a very small portion in our business, and it sort of helps us, you know, reactivate. And we came back in November last year, if you remember, then December and January were much better. So that serves that limited objective, and such tactical measures we will undertake from time to time. But to answer your question, it is not a very significant component of our business. The last question on the average ticket size, you know, even today we do, our ticket prices are stable at a high level in ULIP. So the way things have panned out possibly is that if you look at the very high ticket customer, he is waiting and watching the market to see whether he should be investing in ULIP. But some of the lower ticket size ULIP customers may have migrated to some of the other products like PAR products. So that is what we see. I can only give a qualitative feel, maybe Puneet can supplement. These two behaviors we have seen anecdotally, that very high ticket customers taking a little bit of time to buy, and on a lower size, probably some of the customers, when our distributors start looking at PAR, they find that a smooth and return over a period of time, albeit a very lower return compared to the equity market return, may be something they like it. So a PAR movement at the lower side, some of the ULIP customers may have migrated. So it's just anecdotal. So as a result, if you look at the average premium, it is not, you know, a kind of a precipitous drop or something which some of the market participants were expecting. That has not happened. That is our experience. Puneet, if you want to add anything to this.
No, that's right. The average ticket size is simply an outcome of the underlying average ticket size in the respective product categories. In ULIPs, our average ticket size remains stable. In participating, our average ticket size remains roughly stable where it was, but as you can see, the mix has changed where ULIP is little less and the non-ULIP is little more. That is resulting in the overall average ticket size being slightly lower.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And the second question would be on your this tie with Airtel Payments Bank. I think you wanted to come back on that in your initial comments. So just wanted some more color.
I just mentioned that our partnership approach continues. We keep looking for both conventional as well as non-conventional partners to expand our businesses across the product lines, including our protection business. So in that context, I mentioned that during the quarter, development has been the tie-up with the Airtel Payments Bank. So this kind of partnership approach will continue is what I wanted to mention.
Okay. Okay, got your point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Nischint.
Yeah. I think you answered you know, some of the questions quite well on growth as well as you know, on expenses. But just trying to understand, you know, if you have a similar kind of a growth rate in APE, as in, you know, you have a flat APE in the second half, then kind of broadly, can we say that your expense variance will neither be positive nor negative for the year?
Yeah, Satyan is just clarifying.
Yes, Nishant, we have not built in assumptions of any meaningful growth as far as the cost ratios for the year are concerned.
So you should be flat with the, I mean, assuming that the AP is flat for the year, you should not have any swing in the
downside should not be there.
Yes, downside should not be there. That is what we do a computation before we put out the margin for the half year. Yes.
Great. Most of my other questions are answered. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Nishant. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Two questions. So when we look at the PAR business for Q2 FY20 itself and compare it on a YOY basis, then we see that to decline by 3%. Am I reading it right? Or was ICICI Bank PAR was also there in the base?
No. Actually, you know, Q2, it accelerated further actually in Q2. I would say that it has actually accelerated in Q2. So overall for the half year, participating growth for the first quarter, for the second quarter is about 62%. Overall, I think for the first quarter and second quarter put together was in the 33% kind of a range. Yes, Q2, ICICI Bank was not in the base for a very small base for Q2, but it was there in the base for Q1.
Okay. And one more thing, sir. When I look at the protection business, so I understand that you do not disclose these separately, but just a broad sense. So overall sensitivity to mortality as on FY19, the way we disclosed, was somewhere around 9 to 10% on VNB. But if I look at protection product itself, so how does the sensitivity to mortality would look like directionally, and then some sense on that?
Within protection, sensitivity will be far more than the portfolio sensitivity.
Right.
And as the share of protection itself is increasing in the VNB, even at a portfolio level, this year you should expect to see a greater sensitivity to mortality.
Right, sir. If I simply try to back calculate, given the increase in protection mix and the way the sensitivity moves, then the number is as large as around 45-50%.
I don't have that number offline, but mortality sensitivity for pure protection will definitely be far higher than the overall 10% that you see for the portfolio.
But no such quantification you'll be able to give. So like 10% increase in mortality causes a 9 to 10% change in VNB for full company as a whole. But if I look the protection piece itself, and
no,
if I believe that if
sensitivity will be different, Harshit. We don't give that breakup because all said and done, every product segment has a very different sensitivity. So for example, sensitivity of non-par guaranteed return products to interest rates will be dramatically high.
Right.
So
the reason I was trying to understand is that if people start cutting prices in protection, then at some point of time with increasing competition, what becomes is that how well are people pricing the mortality risks? Because, and that is where I'm coming from, that if say for example, actually 10% of change happens, then
so
the
right point, 78. So the point that you make, Harshit, is very correct. And therefore, one way of looking at it is to see mortality variance within EV. And if you look at it across companies, you will see very different levels of mortality variance. So to the extent that people are using price as a big lever on protection, I would suspect their mortality variance should be close to zero or negative in spite of positives on the savings.
Okay. But that becomes a riskier approach because ultimately protection margins are then highly dependent on the mortality experience.
But that is always true. That is always true, right? Similarly,
right.
The margins and the value delivery on guaranteed return products are highly dependent on interest rates.
True, exactly. And the other savings growth which we have seen in the particular quarter, that's the guaranteed return are much lower than industry.
So not just that, the period for which we give the guarantee is no longer than 12-15 years.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one follow-up question. You mentioned that we had some negative economic variance. Can you quantify that number?
We have not quantified that, Madhukar. We'll do that at the end of the year.
But EV reflects.
So the EV that you have at the end of half year is net of all of that. The split we will disclose by the end of the year.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. And once again, I'm sorry we delayed this call by a day because of the late board meeting yesterday. And despite that, thank you very much for participating in large numbers and asking questions. And our team and all of us are available to take any further questions you may have offline. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Prudential Life Insurance Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.